Take a look at our next WNBA game, a Saturday matinee on ESPN in the app. The Phoenix Mercury taking on the Eastern Conference leading Chicago Sky. Coverage begins at 1 Eastern. Well, welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. What a day it is here on Get Up, because we begin the hour with the biggest story of the day. Check out the countdown clock. T-minus 9 hours to go until the free agent frenzy begins in the NBA. And we start with Woj bombs involving All-Star, beginning with a blockbuster trade last night. All-Star guard DeJounte Murray heading to Atlanta to team up with Trae Young. The Hawks are sending Danilo Gallinari and 3 first-rouners back to San Antonio. Meanwhile, 3-time All-Star Bradley Beal is now an unrestricted free agent after declining his option for next season. He could sign a max deal for 5 years, $250 million if he stays in D.C. Lastly, 10-time All-Star James Harden declines his $47.3 million option with the Sixers. He's now an unrestricted free agent. And here's Woj from earlier about why Harden opted out.
Really an attempt by Harden to try to give Philadelphia the tools to go out and improve this Sixers team. It allows them to use their full mid-level exception at $10.5 million, a biannual exception that starts at $4 million, and also make some trades. But what Harden has really talked to the Sixers about was trying to do what he could to allow Daryl Morey and Elton Brand and their front office to go out and surround he and Joel Embiid with the kind of players and the kind of toughness, physical toughness, mental toughness that they felt they lacked in the playoffs last year.
Interesting. You know, Harden came into Philly when he came by trade. He talked about team first. Not a lot of people believed it at the time, but now maybe he's showing it. What do you make of these moves from Harden?
One of the things that we see that is very difficult to deal with in the NBA is sometimes star players in their mid-30s who maybe don't recognize where it's transitioning with their game. This is James Harden, frankly, having some self-awareness. Now, you could argue that self-awareness comes from the reality that he wasn't a max player in the market anymore, and they didn't have teams that were going to offer it to him anyway, including Philadelphia. But I do give him credit for saying, okay, I need to make an adjustment in my game, which is most important. Mm-hmm. I need to make an adjustment in the way I approach this contract. And by doing this, even though he's still a guy who's going to be very highly paid, he's still a guy that is going to have high expectations, he's changing the narrative. And we know that in Philadelphia particularly, the narrative and how you are viewed can affect how you live your day-to-day life. And
yes,
you just asked Mr. Ben Simmons about that. And so I do think that Harden is doing some things here that potentially could really help the Sixers, not only with around him, but the way Harden is going to approach this phase of his career.
Well, and it should be noted, too, after Game 6 against Miami in the second round, when they lost and their season ended in Philly at Wells Fargo Center for the second season in a row, James Harden was asked about his contract status, and he said he was going to do whatever it took to make this team as good as possible going forward. He has backed that up today. He now has to back it up on the court next season. But this is a significant thing, taking less money now so they can use these extra exceptions they have to make the team better and go into next season with the best chance they have to win.
I'm really impressed by him. He put his money where his mouth is, and that's what Philadelphia fans want. They want players who not only want to be there, who want to win, but actually when they say they're going to do something, they do something. Now, there's still the issue, Brian, of how much money he actually gives up. How do you see that playing out?
Based on the projections of what it's going to take to trigger those exceptions, I think he's going to be giving up 8 figures just in this season alone.
Mm.
So I think he'll drop from $47 million that he could have got with his option to back into the mid-30s. Now, he will guarantee tens of millions over the course of a multi-year contract. Again, let's not lay awake tonight and worry about James Harden.
And we should also point out, this isn't James Harden walking away from a max contract to take less money. James Harden was not going to get a max contract. So really what this is, rather than taking away money he was going to get, it's really reallocating money he was going to get over a period of time.
But he didn't have to reallocate.
It's not to diminish the impact on this season, mm-hmm. but I think it's also important to note that this isn't him necessarily taking a massive haircut from what he was overall going to get. It's just spreading it out in a different way that allows the Sixers to be much better now.
I think what's interesting, though, is how many superstars do you see, and touching on your point, doing something like this? Does it show you that he's more focused on winning in terms of winning a title than he ever has been?
I think it goes back to what you said before about putting his money where his mouth was. When he said that after that game back in May, there were a lot of people who heard it and took it a different way. Like, oh, what exactly is that going to mean in terms of what he's going to do? I took it at the time as him saying, if I need to take less money for us to be in a good place to win, that's what I'm going to do. To your point, that isn't always something he's necessarily been known to do. The fact that he did it now, I do think it's a significant thing, especially because it gives them a chance to get P.J. Tucker, exactly the kind of guy that they need to get, assuming they can get that signing done. They went and got De'Anthony Melton last week. They're adding the kind of pieces around Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, and James Harden, that this team needs to be a real contender in the East, and I think they're on the path to doing that.
And he's doing it at a time when guys like Russell Westbrook aren't doing it, which is, that's not to knock Russell Westbrook. I wouldn't do it in many ways, but still.
If at the opening of free agency a year ago, which was actually in August, not July because of the calendar, you'd have told James Harden that he was going to be doing this now, he wouldn't have believed you. If you'd have told him he was doing this now with the Sixers, he wouldn't have believed you. But he has reacted to those changes by being adaptive. And so for that, in this era where we don't see that, he deserves a measure of credit.
He really does. I give him some credit, and we'll see where this goes in terms of who the Sixers bring in and whether or not that can actually lead to a title, which is what people in Philly really want. And you know what they want in Brooklyn? They want a title too. And Kyrie Irving, he filed his paperwork to pick up his $36.5 million option for the Nets next season, sources told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, earlier this week, there was all that drama surrounding Kyrie after he released that list of teams that he would consider in a trade. Here they are: Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavericks, and the Sixers. But some very interesting destinations, obviously, on that list, like the Knicks. And it'd be interesting to see him play for the Sixers after Harden reportedly wanted out because of Kyrie. It's a whole thing. But anyway, Wendy, when we look at that list, what's the reaction around the league? What was that reaction when they saw this list?
Cool.
Cool. Okay. That's it?
I mean,
not fired up. We're going to get Kyrie in-house.
I know that, like, especially in other sports, you know, by the way, there are role players in the NBA who want to be traded, and they provide lists. It happens. Mm-hmm. And it's always an interesting thing. And a lot of times when a team is listed on a list, it's like, oh, this is interesting. Let's have a discussion. By the way, those teams did have discussions. Some of those teams saw this coming in the last month and had discussions. Do we want Kyrie Irving here? But the demand for Kyrie Irving on a long-term contract just doesn't exist right now.
Look, this goes back to what Adrian Wojnarowski reported the other day, right? There's this list of teams out there. Hey, Kyrie, you can go seek out a sign and trade. There was one team that was willing to do it. That was the Lakers. why? Because the Lakers had no other option.
Do you know why they let him go seek a sign and trade, Ryan?
Why?
Because they knew there wasn't going to be one.
So they called his bluff.
Yes. And Kyrie took the cards and said, fold.
Kyrie wanted a long-term extension in Brooklyn. This list was designed to try to get him a long-term extension in Brooklyn. It didn't work. He opted into his deal. He's now on a one-year contract in Brooklyn.
But this was nothing like the Russell Wilson list that he put out in football, where it was like, oh my God, Russell Wilson.
The Seahawks wanted Russell Wilson on their team, and other teams wanted Russell Wilson on their team. This is a situation where Kyrie looked around and didn't have a chair except for his option, which he was contractually able to pick up.
He folded his cards, but the game isn't over. So more hands are going to be played, and so we'll see how those develop.
So speaking of that, hands that need to be played, we know what Kyrie, well, at least we think we know what Kyrie wants, which is to get a max deal somewhere, preferably with the Nets. What must he do to get a max deal from the Nets?
Well, it would help to be on the court and play. I mean, that would be the first step.
That would be step one.
I mean, is it like 70 games and a title won't make it happen,
I think... You know, as I've said many times, you can only answer Kyrie questions with maybe. Then that goes with this too. But if Kyrie Irving is on the court this season and plays well for the Nets, I mean, remember, he was an All-NBA guard 2 years ago, right? If the Nets make a deep playoff run, if Kyrie's on the court for a bunch of games, if they play well, if everything looks great, sure, something could change in the future. He could get a long-term deal for him. I'm not ruling it out.
How things had changed with James Harden over the course of 9 months. Mm-hmm. We could see things change. Kyrie was a 50-40-90 player 2 years ago. He was almost a 50-40-90 player this last year, but he only played, you know, not as many games. If he has a good year and the Nets, you know, profit as an organization, I think they could see it. But I think the days of Kyrie Irving getting a four-year contract offer, which is what he was looking for here, I would be surprised if he ever gets that again from anybody.
Wow, but no matter what, title even.
I mean, I'm not saying no matter what to anything, because we're in the NBA. But again, step one with James Harden was helping the Sixers be in a better chance position to win. Step one for Kyrie Irving will be getting on the court in October.
Take it one step at a time.
That's all you can do.
And we'll see how it works out for these Nets. All right, guys, thank you so much. I want to turn to baseball because Shohei Ohtani, he was showing them last night. Ohtani has seemingly killed it recently in highlights, and he was on the mound last night, having allowed just one earned run in his last three starts. Look at him mow him down with the splitter. Luis Robert on the splitter. Gavin Sheets taking him down on the splitter. Strikes out the side in the first inning, all on splitters. Bottom half of the inning, no score. Mike Trout at bat, one on, no outs. And Trout hits the hanging breaking ball to the gap off Michael Kopech. Taylor Ward comes around to score. His 17th double of the year. Angels up 1-0. Top of the fourth. Angels up 2-0. Ohtani trying to get out of a bases loaded jam. Josh Harrison struck him out with a slider. Ohtani fired up. 8 strikeouts on the night for him. Top 6, same score. 1-1, 1 out. Full count to Sheets. And Ohtani takes him down. The slider out of the zone. 5 2/3 innings. 11 strikeouts. The Angels win it 4-1. Now, Ohtani's been killing it at the plate in the month of June, but I'll tell you what, it's the mound where he's really excelled. He currently has a 21 2/3 inning active scoreless streak going on the mound. And in his last four starts, 4-0, ERA of 0.34. Well, coming up, we go back to the NFL and talk Cowboys. Have they taken a giant step back? Is there a roster not as talented as Jerry Jones thinks it is? We're talking about that next. Plus, as free agency gets underway, LeBron is facing a huge decision of his own this summer, and it could change everything for the Lakers. We'll discuss as Get Up continues.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
'50-'50, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
Title IX has made an impact, I think, on absolutely every single girl and woman in sports.
There are so many women that came before me that didn't get to have this opportunity.
I think that's the biggest thing, is being able to showcase us as women, but also being super good at what we do.
I don't really know a world without it, and that's why it's so important. And that's why it's so important that we continue to support it.
Hopefully women just, you know, continue to push for what it is that we know we deserve, and don't let up until we get it.
Here is our next WNBA game, a Saturday matinee on ESPN in the app. Diana Taurasi and the Mercury taking on Chicago's Candace Parker in the East leading Sky. Coverage begins at 1 Eastern. Let's take you back to the NFL. Play a little game of better or worse, starting with Booger McFarland. Booger, will the Packers' offense be better or worse this season?
Well, I mean, it's tough to lose one of the best receivers in football and be better. So now that Devontae Adams is in Las Vegas, even though I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be outstanding, I'm going to say worse, just because we don't know who's going to take the place of being that dominant number one for the Packers. So, yeah, I think they got to be worse Because if I said better, that's being disrespectful to Davante Adams.
Good point. Jeremy, will the Chiefs' offense be better or worse?
Yeah, I'm with Booger, same theme. I'm going to go worse. Tyreek Hill is not a player you can just replace. He's got that Steph Curry factor where he spreads the field, gets other guys open passing lanes, and so they're going to be fine. They're going to be high-equipped. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to step up. Juju Smith-Schuster, Patrick Mahomes is going to have an edge to him this year. Not quite as good, though, without Hill.
Okay, so Booger, let's turn to the Cowboys' offense. Will they be better or worse?
I think they're going to be better because I think Dak Prescott is going to be better. And I get it. We can talk about all the other pieces. Amari Cooper is gone. The offensive line may not be what it used to be. But this is a quarterback-driven league. And I think that Dak Prescott is hearing all the noise about is he worth the $40 million and all that good stuff. All I know, when the season opened last year and Dak Prescott was down here in Tampa, he looked like the best player on the field. I think we're going to see that more often this season.
Okay, well, speaking of some of that noise, you're talking about Pro Football Focus released its annual NFL roster rankings, and you see the traditional teams up there like the Packers and the Bucks inside the top five, the Chiefs in the top 10. But you got to go all the way to 16th to find the Cowboys, a team with Dak, Zeke, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, has the most average roster according to PFF. And wow, you talk about maybe for some disrespect there. Jeremy Fowler, I'll start with you. What are you hearing around the league about these Cowboys?
Well, teams and execs I talked to are still high on the Cowboys, believe that they would be the favorite in the NFC East if they were to start today, with Philadelphia pushing them pound for pound. But there are a few reasons why teams are high on the Cowboys. Dak Prescott is healthy, so he should have a better season. CeeDee Lamb is considered a high-end talent that could be a top 10 receiver by the end of the year. And then you have guys like Micah Parsons, on the other end that are elite, you know, 1% type players that can kind of wreck the game at any time. So there's enough talent to get by where they probably are closer to the top 10 than middle of the road based on people I talk to.
Booger, you talked about this offense being better in Dallas this year. Why do you think they're seeing this kind of disrespect, middle of the road, in terms of offenses and teams in the NFL, according to this ranking?
Well, I think it would probably be because the offensive line is not what it used to be. Tyron Smith is aging at left tackle. You got to replace Amari Cooper. Ezekiel Elliott is not what he used to be. So I can go on and on. And so I can understand on paper when we look at these teams and say, this is who we think they're going to be. And let's not forget, we're just a year or so removed from this defense being absolutely terrible. But I think the continued improvement under Dan Quinn, I think the continued improvement of Dak Prescott, and just the overall, sometimes it's about mindset and it's about having to go out and prove something. I think the Cowboys, especially Dak Prescott, they have something to prove, especially from people on this network. Like, we continue to bash Dak, and trust me, I think he hears it. And a motivated Dak Prescott and a motivated CeeDee Lamb is something I want to see come September.
So, Booger, what do you need to see from Dak this year?
Well, I think if you're Dak, you have to go back to doing what made you a guy the Cowboys wanted to pay $40 million, which is really simple, which is be a playmaker. Remember that Bills-Chiefs game we saw in the postseason where we saw Mahomes and Allen in and out of the pocket making plays? Like, we saw that from Dak game one against the Buccaneers down here in Tampa, but we didn't see a lot of that throughout the season. He needs to continue to be that mobile playmaker. He's an athletic quarterback. You're not a pocket passer, a guy that's going to stand still. Yes, you can throw from the pocket and you can do it very well, but use all of your assets. And one of his biggest assets is his legs. Get out of the pocket, move around, make plays down the field. You don't have to worry. And I get it. If you've ever been hurt and you've ever done something the way that Dak did with his ankle, there's some hesitancy to do it again, but he's got to get over that and get out and move around and be a mobile quarterback, because that's what made Dak Dak, and I didn't think he did that toward the end of the season last year.
Yeah, with a year under his belt back from that injury, maybe he'll be showing a little bit more of that this season. Now, Booger, let's revisit this eye candy. And you changed my mind. When I first saw this Odell Beckham painting commission with him picking himself up, the Ram picking up the Brown, I was skeptical. But you changed my mind. You got me looking at art in a whole new way. What do you make of this?
Yeah, art is always in the eyes of the beholder. Now, this is not the Mona Lisa or anything that we're going to hang in the Sistine Chapel. Like, this is not that. But what this is, this is so much irony, and there's so many words that I can use to describe this. You have OBJ, who came from New York to Cleveland, who fell down. You have OBJ that went to the Rams and won a Super Bowl. And now I'm going to go back in time, and I'm going to pick my brother up, and I'm going to bring you forward. Like, there's so many words you can use to describe this that if you put this on a wall at Ryan Smith's house, people will stop and just stare at it. And that's what you want from art. People to look, congregate, and talk about it.
See, I don't know if it would work if OBJ was on my wall like this, but maybe if it was me picking myself up from a Sports Center suit to a Get Up suit, maybe that would make a difference.
It would be weird if you had a picture of you picking yourself up from a Sports Center set, Ryan.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
It'd be very weird. All right, so let's get off the weirdness and go back to Odell. Jeremy, what are you hearing about OBJ and where it could end up this season?
Yeah, Ryan, I'm hearing the Rams remain optimistic that Odell Beckham could re-sign with them. That's the hope. They've been keeping in contact with Beckham. But I'm also hearing that he's going to be patient. He's not going to be ready to play off that torn ACL and probably until October, maybe November. So he can actually sit back, wait, see what some contenders are doing going through training camp. And even in the regular season, he wants to wait that long to see who needs wide receiver help. Green Bay Packers were involved with Beckham last season when he was a free agent. Could get involved again if they realize they need more help for Aaron Rodgers.
All right, that could be, oh, wow, what a matchup that would be. Booger, which team should get Odell Beckham Jr., try to pick him up this season?
I can state the Packers and because of their lack of receiver depth, but any team that needs a wide receiver. I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., especially for the stretch run, I think he's going to be healthy somewhere around late November, early December. Don't hold me that. I'm not trying to play a doctor on TV. But if you're looking for a receiver that can give your team some juice, that can help your football team, that can be a playmaker, I think he and Chris Godwin are going to be in a very similar situation. Now, I know Godwin is under contract for Tampa. But if you think about players that are going to make an impact for a team come late November, early December, OBJ, Chris Godwin, we're going to forget about them September and October and maybe November. But come December, those two guys are going to make a huge impact for their respective teams.
And once again, Odell Beckham Jr. will be a lot of the talk if he waits that long towards the end of the season when teams are really trying to make that push. All right, great job, guys. Thanks so much. Well, coming up, the big decision in the Big Easy. Zion now eligible for a max extension. But will the Pelicans actually give it to him? Maybe the big not so easy. Maybe trouble brewing, and we're going to talk about that next. But first, a little sticky hembo time for Tim and Wendy. I'm told they want really some revenge.
This is really
what is the only NBA franchise that has never given out a $100 million max extension? Never given out a $100 million contract, excuse me.
Yeah, Hembo said he was coming for me. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. He's coming for you. Can you fight back? We shall see.
I don't know.
When we come back.
I don't know. I don't feel good about this one. It's going to be tough.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back with a little sneaky hembo time. Tim and Brian got it yesterday. Hembo wants revenge. What is the only NBA franchise that never has given out a $100 million contract? Gentlemen.
So Brian and I discussed this. Brian and I were trying to go through, think of teams that have been bad lately, that haven't given out a max contract lately. We settled on the Detroit Pistons as our final answer.
We'll and you right. would be wrong. The Chicago Bulls.
Wow.
That is stunning. Look at Hembo. Hembo not so arrogant so today, I see. Hembo deserves
Hembo,
big
Hembo
time
was
credit.
Just mad that I was nervous I was just going to be wrong yesterday.
Wow.
Well, you Hembo was upset.
Look, he got you back in a
got
big way.
Back.
That's a good one. Wow. Ooh.
Chicago Bulls. You can make a lot of jokes about the Chicago Bulls like about $100 million.
Yeah. Don't go there.
They're about okay. to, though. They're about to.
They're
going to skip
that.
Over.
That's true.
Wait,
that's
can I get to this clock?
They're about because
to skip
this is
over,
the day.
They're about to skip over 100 and give Zach
straight to 200.
There you go. There you go. 8 hours, 29 minutes and counting. Till NBA free agency begins. Tim, you've got your fundamental list of the top five teams heading into free agency.
Yeah, let's start with the Memphis Grizzlies, the most exciting young team in the league. We talked earlier about Ja Morant, who we see right here. He's going to get his own $200 million, or a very large extension today. Grizzlies probably going to be one of the teams to look at in the years to come. Very excited about their future. They're fifth on my list of teams in the league going into this offseason. Next up on the list, the Los Angeles Clippers, the team that is going into the season, to me, might be the championship favorites when you look at having Paul George and Kawhi Leonard back.
Spice.
And all of the depth they have around this team after Steve Ballmer, another guy who's not afraid to spend money, has been just throwing out dollars left and right to bring in players over the past few months while the Clippers were not in contention this year. I think they have a chance to be a very, very good team next season. Third, the Milwaukee Bucks. Should have won a second straight championship this year. Chris Middleton had not gotten hurt in the second round, I think, or in the first round, I should say. I think they would have beat the Boston Celtics. Giannis Antetokounmpo had one of the great playoff series you'll ever see against Boston. Almost won it by himself. I think they go into next season, to me, as the team in the East that I would look at as the best, the most likely champion to come out of here. Second up, though, are the team that won the East last year, the Boston Celtics. Have to give them credit for the way they went through the playoffs. Jason Tatum had a pretty rough NBA Finals, as we all know. I think he will come back better. He, to me, is a sneaky pick for MVP this season because I think the Celtics have a chance to win a ton of regular season games. They have a young, durable roster. Ime Udoka's done a great job as coach, and I think they're going to be a very formidable foe this year. But the top team has to be the Golden State Warriors. I don't like the Warriors to repeat. I do think they're going to have some issues potentially with injuries as these guys get into their mid-30s, but when you look at them coming off the championship, Steph Curry having a truly incandescent performance in the finals, establishing himself again as one of the top players in the league, you have to give them the top spot until somebody takes them down.
All right. Look, it's a great list. I didn't see the Sixers, but that's okay.
They got a shot.
Okay.
They got a shot.
Honorable mention. We'll give them that.
Because remember, it's going into free agency, and they're going to be a lot better in a couple of days, I think.
Well, I will say that what I saw from Giannis – in that playoff series, like seven-game series I covered, it's as great of a performance as I've seen in a series. And it's right there with the LeBron stuff. The Bucks are in great shape going forward. If you talk about the Bucks, you're not going to potentially be wrong.
They have the best player in the universe. That's a good place to start.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're talking about the Warriors and their chances going forward, Draymond Green, we know what he thinks. And look at this bold prediction he made earlier this week.
19 was when Steph really locked in on the weight room. And so that's where he kind of starts taking that bump and kind of bumping it up a little bit. I think you started to see it then, that growth, and like, oh, man, nobody can stop this dude now. And I think that really changed the complexity of our organization, and I'm pretty certain that's why we'll win three of the next four NBA championships.
Wow. Three of four? Do you agree with Draymond?
Listen, the only surprise here was that Draymond didn't say, we're winning the next four championships. I'm really not sure why he gave anyone any of them.
I'll tell you why. So that if they don't win next year, he can say, I said three of the
That's
next
right.
four.
That's right. Now, listen, I mean.
Well, do you agree with him?
No. I mean, I agree with him in the sense that the last 6 years that their core has been healthy, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, the Warriors have made the NBA Finals, right? So, of course, Draymond is going to think we can win every year. Why wouldn't he? They just won the championship this year, right? But you look at the combination of age, injury, and competition, just think it's going to be very difficult for Golden State to win one more, let alone three of the next four. Because you look at the teams around them, right? Just look at the West. You've got Memphis coming up, obviously giving them a ton of trouble in the second round this year. You've got the Clippers who are going to be coming. You have Denver who's going to be healthy this year. You've got Dallas and Luka Doncic. You got Phoenix. We'll see what they look like after last year. That's just in the West. We just got done talking about the Bucks, the Celtics, the Nets, the Sixers. There's a ton of really good teams. So you need to not only be good, you also have to be lucky. These guys are in their mid-30s, ton of miles on their tires. They've all had injuries. I just think it's hard to count on them.
And then, Wendy,
they're going to have a shot.
And then, Wendy, can the Warriors keep this team together?
They can, and they will. You know, it's been 10 years now that these three guys, you know, Curry, Clay, and Draymond have been together. That's very rare in the NBA.
You know, the Bulls might not have given out a $100 million contract. The Warriors are giving out $100 million just left and right for the rest of the
year. Well, one of the reasons why it's hard to keep guys, first off, it's hard to get guys to stay together just personally. There's personal issues that come in and teams break apart. Another thing is the teams become too expensive, and the Warriors ownership, and it's coincided with their move to San Francisco in a money machine arena, and also that their owners were willing to sell off 5% of the team. They sold 5% of the team a year ago to help pay for this run.
Wow.
That is something that should not be ignored, okay? I know that it's not fun to talk about the billionaires in this, but I can't think of too many teams in history that would sell off a piece of the equity that they could never get back to pay for this run. And because they did this, they're going to be able to continue to expend $300 million a year. There's even potential that it'll be over $400 million next year.
Oh,
and maybe
goodness.
In the short-term future, even at $500 million, you know, including the luxury tax in the future. So the fact that they are willing to do that, and the fact that they also, while they were on that sort of two-year hiatus while Clay and Steph were dealing with injuries, they just got three lottery picks over the last 2 years. You know that those guys are going to help refresh the group. Jordan Poole, who wasn't a lottery pick, is going to refresh the group. They really, for as much as we make fun and everybody has fun at the expense of the light years comment, they really have been able to extend the window of this group in a way that we really haven't seen in the modern era.
Wow, and the numbers just keep going up and up. 500 million, can you imagine that in the NBA? Feels like it could actually happen. Let's run the floor. So many big names are on the verge of getting paid today. Wendy, start us off.
Yeah, so a big, big moment here for Devin Booker. He made first team All-NBA. That triggers his ability to sign the Supermax, which we expect him to do in the very near future. It's going to be in excess of $200 million. It's going to keep him in his son's uniform for the foreseeable future and clear this team to build off last year's success going forward.
And another guy who's going to get that same four-year, $210 million extension is Karl-Anthony Towns with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Towns made 13 All-NBA this year, got the Supermax extension a few years ago. He did not make 13 All-NBA when he could have got the Supermax rookie extension. Was very upset about that. He will not be upset today when he gets offers this extension. He and Anthony Edwards going forward, my man, the Ant-Man in Minnesota. A lot to be excited about for A-Rod and Mark Laura, the new owners of the Timberwolves.
If the Denver Nuggets can get Nikola Jokic out of the stables in the next couple of days, he will sign the largest contract in the history of the NBA. Two-time defending MVP. How about 250-plus? To stay in Denver long-term. This is an untalked-about story. He's in a medium-sized market. We had never heard one iota of him being anything but thrilled to be there. He is invested there. The Nuggets have a championship window because we got a two-time MVP who's going to age well.
When he got asked about it, he said, yes, I'm going to sign it. It's refreshing to hear. By the way, we go from the most boring superstar in the NBA to the most exciting one, Ja Morant. He is going to get a five-year, $189 million extension offered him today. He will accept that. The Grizzlies, to me, are my favorite team to watch in the league right now. Ja's my favorite player to watch in the league right now. If you watch him, every time he goes out on the court, he tries to decapitate people with dunks. This team is going to be a one to watch in the years to come. Very excited to see what's up next for the Grizzlies.
$863 million possibly given out to just those four guys.
That's some
guys.
Very good math right there.
Look yeah, I did right it really fast. Look at that. I'm learning. All right. And by the way, you talk about Ja, second overall pick in 2019. The first overall pick, of course, was Zion Williamson. And Zion now is eligible for a max extension. There's been talk back and forth. Tim, should the Pelicans max out Zion?
I mean, should is an interesting question because you look at him playing 85 games over the past 3 years, you go, well, how can you pay a guy a max extension when he's barely been on the court? The reason why is because you look at the situation the Pelicans are in, and they're in a small market. Zion is a huge talent, and really their only chance to get to contention with this group they have is for Zion Williamson to get back on the court and be an elite-level player for them. So I would expect that at some point over the next few months, we'll see Zion and the Pelicans come to some sort of agreement along the lines of your pal Joel Embiid in the Philadelphia 76ers did a few years ago when after he had injuries early in his career, they set up a contract that had some injury protections in it. However, Zion is going to just want his money, and so that's going to probably lead to an interesting negotiation here.
Let me put on my lawyer hat here. Let's discuss the definition of the word max. Because David Griffin, the general manager of the Pelicans, said Zion Williamson is worth a maximum contract. Zion Williamson said, if I'm given a contract extension, I will sign it. So why aren't we talking about Zion Williamson signing today? Because the word max is a flexible term. I think the Pelicans are willing to give Zion a piece of paper that says $189 million on it. But when the fine print is read, they're not going to want to guarantee. I'm not even guessing. David Griffin has said on the record, we're not going to guarantee a full five-year contract.
But isn't that a huge risk for New Orleans fans who are sitting there saying, if you let Zion go, a possible transcendent talent on the level of LeBron James when he was coming out of school, we will go crazy.
Now let's negotiate the term, let him go. He is under contract for next year, and then he is restricted. If you're Zion Williamson, though, you know that if you were to not sign for this year and you go into the market next year, you know there will be numerous teams that will give you a contract with the word fully guaranteed in it. And so you question yourself if you're Zion, well, if they're not going to fully guarantee me, why should I risk? Why should I take on the risk? Why not just go play another good year and do it? But then you come back and say, well, you only played 85 games over 3 years. Why would you turn down what would probably be they probably would be willing to guarantee nine figures. They just won't be willing to guarantee the whole thing. So reasonable people should prevail here.
Uh-huh.
And I expect if nobody takes an extreme position, this to get done. But this is going to take some negotiation.
Well, to Brian's point, when you say numerous teams will line up with guaranteed max offers, that is if Zion Williamson was actually on the court, right? This comes back to something.
I think anyway.
Maybe. But if he misses an entire season again with injury, I mean, we spent a lot of time this week talking about Ben Simmons, about Kyrie Irving, about Zion Williamson, all guys who have not been on the court. It would be nice to see all of them on the court, including Zion, who is an incredible talent to watch. But again, he needs to get on the court.
Well,
and that is, again, this is what the negotiation is about.
To your point, Zion wanted to show you that he's on the court because meanwhile on planet Earth,
here
is Zion on the court showing what he can do. Watch. Just dunking on kids. Now, they, I guess, are maybe teenagers, but look at what he can do.
Okay, so I'm going to stop. So the one time I've seen Zion Williamson on a court this year was in the NBA 75 commercial when he did a dunk and broke the rim, and that was it. So I've now seen him dunk twice.
That's
like
not
that.
True. There was videos of him earlier than that.
And you can extrapolate this is what he's going to do in the NBA, right?
Yes, he's going to walk in and just calmly dunk the ball with no competition around it. Yes, that's what's going to happen. I would really just like to see Zion Williamson, in all seriousness, be on the court. Let me get back to seeing Zion dunking.
I'd like him to land on both feet, not one foot.
That would be a good place
to start, too, please.
All right, UFC 276 Saturday night from Vegas. Another stacked card. Israel Adesanya and Alexander Volkanovski defending their belts. Main card, 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. Prelims, 8 Eastern on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. And to order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/pay-per-view. Coming up, talking about big names in the NBA, LeBron facing a huge decision of his own about his future in LA. What should he do? What will he do? The King's Court and the King's options. Coming up on Get Up. Huge day here on Get Up as we are counting down to NBA free agency. 8 hours, 12 minutes and counting until the money starts flowing all over the NBA and players, perhaps big ones, changing teams. Now, one guy who might not be on the clock here, LeBron James. He'll be eligible to sign an extension August 4th until the end of next year's regular season. If he doesn't, he could be a free agent next summer. So a lot on the line. You know, we talk about all the money that's going to be flowing, but apparently that won't be flowing for LeBron today. What do we know about what's happening with LeBron?
I think he is, from what I understand in checking this out, he is just going to be a spectator for the next 6 weeks and see what the Lakers are able to do. I'm not expecting them to do much. And I also think it's not, even if he doesn't extend his contract, it's not necessarily a vote of no confidence in the Lakers. It's just to leave both his options and the Lakers' options open. They can offer him a $100 million extension over 2 years. That's as far as he can go under the current rules. But the other thing is he can build options into that contract. He can sign for 1 year and then build an option into it. The contract he's in right now, he could have had an option this year, but he elected to structure his contract differently. So he has shown the Lakers he's given them a huge amount of leeway. When he came there, he signed for 4 years. Then he extended his contract with no options in it. I don't think this is, you know, if he doesn't sign it, it's any sort of red flag. But I do think that the fact that it's a real decision and not a no-brainer is something that illustrates where he is with the Lakers.
Yeah, there are the numbers. And the wait-and-see approach is kind of how he's done it his whole career. But I'm sure it's a little scary for Lakers and Lakers fans. So, Tim, what should or could LeBron do?
Well, I mean, we've spent a lot of this show talking about James Harden, his decision to opt out to allow his team to have some more pieces around him, right? The Lakers have hardly any pieces around LeBron James at this point. That's not necessarily LeBron's fault, outside of, you could argue, maybe the Russell Westbrook trade. But they have Anthony Davis, they have LeBron James, they don't have much else. Well, if he doesn't extend and he's a free agent next summer, even if he wants to stay there, let's say he takes a little bit less money like James Harden did, maybe they can add a third max player. Maybe they can add two or three players in free agency. And then they can have some players around them, because as you look at this graphic, there ain't a lot of key free agents on the Lakers, because there weren't a lot of key free agents to be had on a team that won 33 games last year.
Yeah, so, we don't even know if they can afford Malik Monk.
That's right. They might not be able to keep the one guy on that list you would really want to have. So that just illustrates the situation that the Lakers are in. And to Brian's point, I think the fact that this isn't a no-brainer for LeBron in terms of extending, it's more of a signature to me of how desperate the Lakers are from a talent standpoint than it is about LeBron wanting to be in L.A. He went to L.A. because he wanted to be in L.A. Now this team is in such rough shape talent-wise that he can't necessarily care and commit to staying there right away.
As squeezed as they are right now, when Russell Westbrook comes off their books, that's $47 million off the books. Potentially, if LeBron comes off the books, not necessarily to leave, that's another 40-plus million that comes off the books. You take $90 million off the books of the Lakers next year, a lot of things that are not possible today and haven't been possible for the last year, a lot of those avenues reopen. So that's something that LeBron will consider as he approaches it. And LeBron will be the highest-earning NBA player in history when he retires. I don't know if he'll stay there, but he, because of all that money he's earned, he has earned the right to look at his options.
The combination of Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and cap space and L.A. sunshine, that's a pretty appealing combination.
Huge, huge situation for L.A., but can they wait that long for that? Let's play Fact or Fiction. Tim, DeJounte Murray makes the Hawks into contenders.
Fiction. We've talked about how too good the top of the East is. I don't think the Hawks can crack the top four or five in the East. That said, I love the combination of Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. I think they're going to be really exciting, really good together. But to me, it's just a sign that this is not yesterday's Eastern Conference. To get into that top four in the East, you have to be a hell of a team. Hawks still have some work to do for me.
Wendy, the question Knicks fans all want answers to. Will Jalen Brunson make the Knicks contenders?
Fiction.
Are they contenders for the play-in tournament or contenders for the playoffs or what?
They were six games out of the play-in tournament last season. Six. So if Jalen Brunson helps them win eight more games, which, by the way, for a single free agent would be amazing, they still would be a play-in team.
Ouch. Tim, fact or fiction, Harden's new deal will allow the Sixers to become favorites in the East.
Now, before the Philly guy jumps on me, I'm going to say fiction, but I'm going to say fiction because, as we have talked about a bunch on the show, the top of the East is very tough, and all these teams are flawed. And so I don't think I would pick any of them, Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, Philly, to be the favorite. But I think with the moves that Philly's going to be able to make because of Harden opting out, I clearly think they're going to be among the top four in the East, and they'll be among the favorites. I just can't pick any single favorite, so that is a fiction.
I'll take it. I'll take top four. I'll take that kind of hope, because that hope didn't exist when everybody thought Harden was going to opt in. So you look at this team now, do they have the pieces in terms of what they're identifying to actually make it to the top? I mean, can they actually get there? I know you're saying they're in the top four.
Well, let's see what happens over the next few days, right? Okay. You know, I know wait and see isn't always the most fun answer, but let's see if they can actually get P.J. Tucker like they are going to try to in free agency. Let's see what they can do with the biannual exception. Let's see if Daryl Morey can make some trades on the margins on the roster to continue to improve
this
team.
Maybe not even the margins, Ryan. Daryl Morey has been very active in this last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. In addition to setting up this Harden deal, in addition to trying to get position to get P.J. Tucker, Tobias Harris's name has been out there on the trade market. Tobias Harris makes over $35 million. That is a lot to work with in potential trades. So maybe they do a Harris deal, maybe they don't, but the Sixers are going to be revamped around their stars for next season. And don't forget that Tyrese Maxey is also expected to have an impact season.
Wow, they made $35 million could bring in a heck of a player.
When they made the James Harden trade in February, everybody at the time said, this is the beginning of the work, right? We have James Harden, we have Tyrese Maxey, we have Joel Embiid. We now have to surround them with talent. Sixers got DeAnthony Melton last week, terrific fit. They could have P.J. Tucker sometime in the next few days. He'd be a great fit. They're going to continue to make moves like that. they're going to be in good shape.
You know what we're not talking about, though, and you mentioned good shape, Harden being in good shape, because that's a big deal, too, right? Wendy, it's you can surround him with all the talent in the world, but we got to see what James Harden comes
back. Yeah, ultimately, how Harden will be judged will be how he plays on the rectangle of the hardwood, because that
is the playoffs.
Well, let's start with good Kevin the regular season, because even the regular season, it wasn't didn't blow anybody away. But Harden's numbers when he played for the Nets before he hurt his hamstring were excellent. Mm-hmm. They weren't the MVP numbers, but they were excellent. That is not that far away. If he is healthy and in shape and he puts up those numbers, by the way, it was like 28-7 or something like that. That kind of play would make Philly a contender, and that would make their fans very happy.
Wow, we would take that. We would take anywhere near that at this point. But will it happen? Will it happen?
I mean, look, I think James Harden is already working out. He's going to be, I think, probably better than he was last year. I don't know if he's going to be back to MVP level, but I think he's going to be good enough for Philly to get where they want to go.
Wow, and that's a title. So we'll see if it's that good. Now, First Take, coming up next. Did James Harden's decision in Philly make the Sixers contenders to win a title? Plus, should LeBron extend his contract with the Lakers? It's First Take, coming up at the top of the hour. Check out this eye candy. We're bringing Tim in here because he loves the Ant-Man.
I love him. Anthony Edwards, the Ant-Man. Whoa.
Look at him.
Whoa.
What? Whoa. Look at, even he's surprised.
No, the Ant-Man's never surprised. Look at this. Now he's catching balls. Look at this guy. So the crazy thing about Anthony Edwards, he wanted to be a football player.
Really?
He was a football player. He wanted to be a football player. Obviously, he's a hell of a basketball player, but that's,
Dude has a cannon. He can do it all. Future MVP?
Yeah, I don't know about that. He's got to be really good. But that's
First Take starts now.